Right on. So we have five wonderful people here who are going to share a little bit of their story with you. And we're going to do a couple of these This Is My Story Sundays over the course of the year. And what it is just a chance for you to hear stories of how God has worked in, has transformed, has changed the lives of people just like you, people that you know who attend here at Bethel. And I thought it would be really cool as we begin the year to riff off of our mission statement, an authentic community where lives are made new in Christ. And so this morning is all stories about authentic community. So I'm going to invite Jim to start off. Now, I've already given them your name, but if you could still... Oh, wait, no. Oh, you sneaky. No. No, we have a list. You get to start. We've got to be faithful to that list. So introduce yourself.
Hello.
And I'm going to... Now, they each have 5 minutes. Now,
I don't do well with a timer.
They're not preachers, so they're probably not going to go long. But I'm going to time them just in case, all right? All right. Your time starts now.
My money is on Jerry going the longest. So I'm Raquel. I am the office administrator here at the church. I have been coming to this church for just about 2 years now, and it's my home. But I grew up as a homeschooled child in Rocky Mountain House, Alberta, and it was good. Like, we had a good church community when I was a really small kid, and lots of the kids in our church also homeschooled, and so it was kind of, we had a lot of similarities in lifestyles, and we spent a lot of time together, and it was really wonderful. And then when I was 10 years old, my dad got transferred up to a place called Rainbow Lake. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it is a hole that you never want to experience. There is 1,000 people in this town. There's one church, and all of the different communities use that church. So it would be like 10 o'clock in the morning would be the Catholic church. 11:30 would be our church, you know, and it was just a tiny, like, honestly, like a quarter of the sanctuary, and that was all we had. So there was 3 children in that church. And that was all the community we really experienced. And then 4 years later, when we finally felt like we had settled into this little tiny community and maybe we're experiencing some kind of closeness with these people, then my dad got transferred again back to Rocky Mountain House. And in the time that we were in Rainbow Lake, my mom kind of had some mental issues with what was going on, and she ended up putting us into public school for the first time. And that was a huge adjustment for us as kids. I was in grade 7 at the time. I was in shock for months, I think, because I had never experienced this before. I didn't ever spend time with these kinds of people, and it was a lot. And so when we went back then to Rocky Mountain House, we continued going to high school there. And it was pretty insane just trying to adjust to being in the same church again with the same kids, but in a completely different type of life, and we felt really judged, honestly. It was very difficult. So when my mom kind of gave us the idea that we were allowed to, you know, if you're at the age where you can choose whether or not you want to go to church, me and my 2 siblings just stopped immediately. We just didn't want to do it anymore. We didn't feel a part of this community. We hated it. And honestly, I feel like that was a big part of why I walked away from the Lord, just because of the judgment that I felt. I'm honestly one of those people that will read body language and facial expression more than I even hear the English language sometimes in it. So just feeling that so much from those people just really was intense for me, and I couldn't handle it. And so I used that as one of my excuses to walk away from the Lord and the whole community and to not experience that anymore. So I didn't start going to church again until I met my husband, Tony. And then we attended a small church that was, you know, it was okay, and there was, you know, a few families in it, but not really people we were deeply connecting with, and some stuff went down, and we ended up having to just leave there completely, and we ended up coming here. And I walked in these doors. I'm not going to cry, you're crying. And for the first time, it felt like I walked into just like a giant hug. Like, never once did I come in here and feel like any one of you was judging me in any way, shape, or form. There was nothing but just like open arms and love. And I was overwhelmed. It was wild. I felt like I could finally be myself. It was a huge catalyst to healing those parts of me that were damaged by my church experiences in the past. And it just, like, having that many people display the love of Christ to you is huge. And so I just want to thank each and every one of you, too, for doing that for me, for accepting me and my husband and my kid and all this stuff just with such open arms. Like, there's nothing but love in this place. And you're displaying the love of Christ when you do that. So that is my experience of authentic community. It's right here, right now. So thank you.
Bear with me. Bethel. I call myself a Bethelite because I've been here for quite a while. I worked in the pulp mill in Crofton and met a fella who kind of loved the Lord, and he wanted to win men to Christ. And he figured out the way to do that was to talk about end times and prophecy and link it with the Bible, and link it with what Jesus is doing. And we used to argue, we used to fight, we used to talk about the Bible. I was raised in a Bible-reading home, not necessarily a born-again home, but a Bible-reading home. And so I had a little bit of knowledge, you know. I saw the Bible, and I knew it was readable, but that was probably the best. But he worked on me, and the Holy Spirit worked on me. And it took over a year reading and finally getting into the Word that God began to deal with me. And you know how so often when we're born again, we say, I found Jesus. Well, that's contrary to Scripture. You didn't find him. He found you. The Bible says, no man comes to God except the Father draw him. And that's in John. It's just the truth. And I warmed to Christ through all of that. I had a church background, Anglican, United. At the time, I met my wife in the United Church at Sock Hop. And yet, look, here's the Lord graciously working in a pulp mill with the gospel. Amazing stuff, amazing stuff. But finally, the one day I said, okay, God, I give you my life. And the peace and the joy that flooded in, it's just, you just can't express it. You just can't express it. Emotion in God. Wow. But it's so peaceful. And I changed. And interview my wife, she'll tell you. I changed. Wow. Did I ever? She got scared. She says, you're not going to be one of those cults, are you? Honest question. I said, I don't think so. But I wasn't church then. I had never been to Bethel. I knew about Bethel. I knew that they were Bible-believing. My wife worked in Overweighty with a young lady, Auntie Ann. And I said, you know, it had to be God. You should go and talk to Ann. I think she could answer the questions. I couldn't. I was just a kid, a baby. Well, we were both kids. So she did. And soon after that, we began to come to Bethel. And I remember almost the first time we came to Bethel, there was an evangelist in the church. Now, if you're Anglican background or United, where there's minimal excitement, this fellow was full of life. And he was probably my age now at the time, but so anointed. And a great sermon. And at the end of the sermon, Ann, she hustles us out Where are we going? Oh, we're going to go out for tea. We'll be all right. You know, well, yeah, but there's still a service going on. There's still an altar service. He was praying for the sick, and people were getting healed and delivered. But she was scared that would scare us. Huh. No, it didn't. It didn't. When you know, when you feel the love of the Holy Spirit in a place, as Raquel said, it's the key. It opens. It opens your heart. It doesn't chase you away. It opens your heart. And that's where we found it. It was just different. Just different. And looking back, it was community in his love. Sometimes Sunday evenings, we had services in those days on Sunday evenings, and we'd have great worship and praise and amazing altar services and prayer. And afterwards, we'd all sort of get together at different ones' houses from different weeks to and have fellowship. We called it fellowship, but it was really tea, coffee, cheese and onion sandwiches, and, you know, sweets. But there's people here that were at that, and people who wanted to go to it, too. Is Michelle here?
Just a warning.
Got a warning.
Yeah, you got a warning.
What I say, though, I say to young, medium age, and my age, that there's more. There's so much more. Christ didn't just get you saved. He didn't get you baptized in water. He didn't get you baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then that's it. There's more. Don't give up. What's the saying today? It is what it is. Go for more. Go for more. Because that's where he's going to meet you. Out on the limb. And he'll meet you there and bless you there. And make you a blessing. And that's our call. Is to make a blessing. In Jesus' name.
I'm going to talk, I was going to try to talk low because I do have a very loud voice for anybody who does actually know me here. My name is Paula, and very grateful to be here this morning. I'm very nervous because I've never done anything like this before, and I just want to get that out there so that maybe the nervousness will go away. I was going to thank Joe. I don't know if I really want to thank him, but I will thank him for asking me to participate this morning. And I won't make you cry because, yeah, that's just not who I am. I come from Ontario, a very small town called Dundas. I was the last born in a family of four, and my dad's idea of going to church was waking up on this sporadic Sunday and saying, "That's it, kids, we're going to church today." And of course, we would not want to go because it wasn't a regular routine in our home. But I did learn that there's arrowroot cookies at church, so I went. And my dad would do that every couple times a year, and so I knew about church, I knew about God, but I didn't know a lot. Fortunately for me, in my mid-20s, I joined Alcoholics Anonymous and I started my road to recovery. And that was one of the best things that ever happened to me because I rediscovered God. And through attending thousands and thousands of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, I became closer and closer to God. I helped lots of other women recover from alcoholism and tried on a very daily basis to grow closer and closer to the Lord. In 2017, I joined a community church in Ontario, and the most amazing thing happened when I went to that church. I walked in and the worship started, and they did this drum roll that built for 2 minutes before the beginning of the church service. And in that 2 minutes, I had never felt the presence of the Lord like I did then. It was just, it started at my toes and went all the way up my body. And by the time we stood to sing, my heart was full of love and joy. I had never, ever experienced anything like that in my life before. And I started to cry because that's what women do, or I do. Anyway, I'll say me. But cry in a good way, in a joyful way, in a way that I had never experienced. And in 2020, I came to the island from Ontario. I came in January 31st, 2020. And I had all these plans and all these dreams and all these hopes. I was going to join all these community groups, and I was going to volunteer, and I was going to be at the front of the bakery saying hi to everybody in Ladysmith. I had all these ideas, and Dr. Bonnie said, "We're closing you down for 8 weeks." That was tough for me. So I turned to Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." And as I stood on my balcony for 8 weeks and made noise with pots and pans, thanking the healthcare workers for helping us through a pandemic which none of us had ever lived through or had never experienced before, I got closer and closer to God through this time. It was a very difficult time period because it was very isolating. I didn't have a support system here. I was fortunate enough to come to your church a couple of times before COVID. I met a gentleman at the church, and he and I became friends, and he introduced me to some other people in the church, and I got to know them a little bit, and very, very grateful for those experiences. But I found during COVID and those first 8 weeks, I was just so anxious, and I was so scared, and I was so full of fear. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but I hadn't read the Bible up to this point in my life. I knew it existed, and I knew some parts of it, but I decided I was going to undertake reading the Bible. So looking for direction, I turned to Isaiah 11:13, where it says, "Do not be anxious, for I am your God. I will fortify you. Yes, I will help you. I will really hold on to you with my right hand of righteousness." And I just held that deep in my heart, and I imagined him holding my hand. I imagined him walking through this journey with me, and it gave me hope. And when COVID finally was over and we reconvened in church services, I was so excited to come back. I was so excited to reconnect and meet some new people. And through Bethel, and the other thing I want to say was, when I was leaving Ontario, I loved my church. I loved, loved, loved it. I went to the pastor and I said, "I'm so sad I'm leaving, but I'm going to a place called Ladysmith, BC. I don't know if you've ever heard of it." He's like, "I have, and go to Bethel." No joke. I am sitting in St. Catharines, Ontario, and he says, "Bethel Church is in Ladysmith. That's where you need to go." And that's how I found this church, which was definitely God intervening. We have to be honest about that, because like Ladysmith is a pretty small little place. And for this pastor, it was not, he didn't miss a beat when he said Bethel Church. And so I looked forward to coming here. And since we've come back to church services, I've gotten to know some people in small groups and the redemption group, and people have been so kind and so loving and so supportive that I don't know what I would have done without the church to get me through this difficult time. In closing, I'd like to share the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi with you. It's a very, very impactful prayer for me. It's carried me through a lot of difficult times in my life, and this is how it reads. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace where there is hatred. Let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love for. It is in giving that we receive. It is by pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is by dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen."
We say amen. Okay, well, I didn't really prepare a speech. I probably would go right off of it anyway. But I've seen in my life many different communities. I grew up in Brantford, Ontario in the 70s, in the 80s. It was a broken community. The economy wasn't so good, and our three biggest factories broke down. It went out of work. And there was a lot of depression. The streets went from kids playing and parents barbecuing to dads drinking and parents arguing. And you could hear it in the community, down the streets, down the, you know, wherever you would go, people were just lost their job, lost their house. Interest rates were 18%. You know, so it was a kind of a depressive situation. My father, he was a truck driver, so he was gone 5 days a week, which gave us a lot of time to do whatever we wanted to do. Well, when you're young and you don't have a lot of guidance, you do whatever you want to do. So that brought me into other communities, like prison. I decided I was going to be an entrepreneur and sell some drugs. And then I landed myself in prison for 7 years by the time I was 20 years old. And so I came out, and I really, it's funny, you know, the Lord, the way he works inside your soul, right? You know, you don't know that you're a believer until you're waiting to be sentenced by the judge, and you're sitting in your little holding area and you're praying your butt off that he just doesn't throw you in prison. and then you realize that there, you know, there's bigger things than you out there. But, you know, not being raised in a church except for Sunday school, I didn't really have any community that was in a positive way to kind of figure a way out of it, right? So, you know, that kind of led into my own adult life where, you know, I brought my brokenness of my childhood into my adulthood. And I tried to correct all the mistakes that I thought my parents had made in my arrogance, not realizing their situations, right? One thing I realized that there was always like an emptiness, like just a gap. You know, it was like an empty chasm, and I just couldn't fill it. I'd try to fill it with drugs, try to fill it with alcohol, try to fill it with women, try to fill it with whatever would make me feel good at the time, and it just wasn't working, right? I came to the island, and, you know, I was really driven to, you know, be with my kids and do things with them. You know, whether we were hiking or I was coaching baseball or hockey or soccer, I was in the community. And so I found a community in Ladysmith that I thought was community. And it was. But it still didn't fill that gap in my life, that emptiness that was just there. And I couldn't seem to fill it. But, you know, I met a fella that goes to the church. He isn't here today, but the Bushes, Jack Bush and Jerry. And I coached with Jack for a few years, and he would ask me if I wanted to come to church from time to time, and I'd be like, nah, you know, you guys don't want me at your church, right? And he's like, no, come. And, you know, Jack would see me in the worst, like, situations, you know, where I'd be really drunk or really messed up. You know, because we'd go to tournaments together, and the partying parents would party, and Jack would sit with us, but he just didn't drink and didn't get, you know, wasted with everybody. And he was always fun to, he just was, like, nice, and I'm like, what's with this guy? Like, he's always so nice, you know, and at times I'd be, like, almost mad. I'd be like, Jack, like, man, is there not a problem in your life? He's like, hey, I got lots of problems, but, you know. Today's a good day, and I'd be like, whoa, like, where is this coming from? Wow, you know, and, but my life started getting dragged downhill because I wasn't letting Christ in my life. I wasn't letting God in my life, and I was trying to do it on my own. And, you know, I hit a rock bottom. I hit my own personal bottom, and I decided to call up Jack, and I was like, hey, like, is that offer still open to go to Bethel or come to church? And he was like, sure, come on, you know, I'll pick you up. You know, what time are you going to be ready? He was pumped. And so in turn, I was kind of pumped, and I was like, whoa, like, what's this going to be like? And I came into Bethel. I came into Bethel, and what I found was people that had faith, you know, that had a deeper strength. Something that even though I tried to fight, I didn't have that strength within me. So I came here, Pastor Rob at the time had kind of took me under his wing and, you know, kind of brought me through the gospel, brought me through, you know, what Jesus had done, what he, how he had died for my sins. And then slowly them gaps started to fill in. And then I could be happy even when I would normally be sad, you know, or I could be strong when I was normally weak. So in that way, the Lord put Jack in front of me, and then that brought me here to you guys, which I consider my family. I've known Don and Miranda and Jim and Carol, and, you know, the list goes on and on, but, you know, these people have been mentors in my life and people that I look up to of how to be strong, and I just thank God today. I thank Jesus for dying for my sins, and I just thank y'all. God bless.
I'm nervous also. I prayed about what to share today, and it was an emotional week for me at times, just thinking about it. But what really came to my mind is that God is a family man. And I just set this down. We have God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Bride of Christ, the Church. That's us, guys. And I got saved when I was on my 26th birthday. And I come from kind of a dysfunctional home, and I got saved in the midst of a very toxic and violent marriage. How God reached in there, I just don't know. But the cry of my heart at that time was, God, I've made so many wrong choices. I've messed my life up so bad. And if there was a possibility of having a second chance to do it over again right, I would like that. But I really felt that was just a daydream, an impossibility, just kind of a wish, but it was at the core of my being. Anyway, the Lord sent a girl into my life. She was pregnant, I was pregnant. She was dropped off at my house on my husband's 21st birthday. They went to the bar, and she got abandoned there with me. And lo and behold, she was a Christian. And so over the next 6 years, she spoke to me. I kicked her out of my house more than once. She even dared to bring a Bible in one day, and I thought, oh God, you know, burn that thing and get it out of here, right? But slowly, she started to say things that if there was a God, only God could know. And finally, one day, she said to me, Karen, have you ever wanted a second chance? Like, how would she know those exact words? And I started thinking maybe some of that stuff she was telling me actually was sensible. And I started to listen, and my hard heart began to soften. And on my 26th birthday, I laid in bed, and I just said, God, you take my life. You want me that bad? I don't know what for, but you take my life, and you do whatever you want with it. And I meant it. And he honored that. 10 years went by. I ended up in divorce, and things go that way. And I just felt that different things that the Lord did for me. I wasn't in church. I did not want to contaminate God's holy community with my presence, is how I felt. So I avoided that. And but over 10 years passed, and I'm now a single mother with 3 children on drugs. I had some health issues. I was on and off welfare at times. I worked when I could. And so life was kind of tough. But I always had that sense God showed up in some of the strangest places, and I knew that he loved me and that he cared about me and he cared for me. So anyway, the 10 years went by, and then God really moved in my life and installed me in a church. So here I am, this single mom, on welfare, 3 kids, on drugs, and he sticks me in a church of a bunch of people that have been together for a lot of years. There was about 100 of them. They all had jobs. They all had good kids, as best I knew. They wore suits and ties. I wore and nice dresses, and I wore sweatpants and t-shirts, because that's all I had. And I stuck out like a sore thumb. But God had made it so obvious to me, is this is where I want you to be. And I couldn't get out of that place no matter what. I would try to skip church sometimes because I didn't talk to anybody. I had my head down, and I sat at the very back. And one day I walked in the door, and this man gave me this grand slam hug. And I almost kicked him because I just felt that I was so inadequate. And I didn't want to pollute them. But I knew that God had put the pressure on me, and this is where I really needed to belong. Right? And then one day, this couple really accepted me, and I thought, like, how could you love me? You know, you don't know the dirt that I am and the dirt that I feel that I am. But they just loved me in spite of myself, and I grew to feel confident. Then one day in church, this is a sermon that was on this passage, and it really changed my life. It says that, sing to God, sing praise to his name, and extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, defender of widows. He is God on his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. And when I heard those words, it was like the heavens opened, and I could see the hand of God working. It's that God had placed me there. Now, I wasn't comfortable there. I didn't like it there. I didn't want to be there, but I knew I was supposed to be there for a reason. And over the years, God, you know, knocked off the rough spots. My language changed. My jokes changed. My attitude changed. A lot of things changed, slowly in some areas like that. But I became to accept it. I had to accept that God had placed me in that family. Whether I liked it or not, this was my family now. And so I had to change, and I had to adopt them as my family. And I grew. I learned how to fit in, and I learned how to just that I was accepted. Not everybody knew me. Not everybody was my friend. But the Lord placed certain people in my life that could identify with me, that talked to me, counseled me, mentored me, and most of all, that they loved me. So in closing, there's another passage that came to me this week, and it's in Matthew 12. And it's what Jesus, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And he replied, who is my mother? Excuse me. And who are my brothers? In pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mothers, my brothers, whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So, sorry. I just wanted to share that with you, that you are my brothers, you are my sisters, you are my mothers. I encourage each and every one of you is to reach out to each other like that and to receive one another, to receive the love that people have in their hearts. It's so easy to just fade away and just kind of live in the background, but I encourage you to take those steps of faith, reach out to others, and receive those that reach out to you. And there's a saying that says success is 90% showing up. So community for me is about commitment. I've been here, I got saved when I was in Kamloops, but I've been here in this church for over 20 years. And it's just a matter of showing up some days, on the worst days. This is the first, but it's the last place you want to be. This is the first place you need to come. So thank you very much.
There we go. No, you can just stay up here for a second. I'm not going to ask you any questions, but I just want to make a few comments to kind of tie things in. But friends, I wanted to say, you know, that we're on holy ground here today. You know, we saw the Holy Spirit move in a very spontaneous way during the service earlier. And we've seen and heard stories about how the Holy Spirit worked in their preparation for today, but also through their lives in a trajectory. The long, slow faithfulness, the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. I saw some themes. Raquel, in your story, you were talking about how the contrast between your church experience of judgment and acceptance. And isn't that often the biggest complaint against the church is that they're hypocritical or that they're judgmental? And then from there, Jim, you shared, I even quoted you, Jim. This is a quote, love of the Holy Spirit is the key that opens your heart. The love of the Holy Spirit is the key that opens your heart and the love that you experienced in community. And then, Paula, you brought us back to those hard days where there was a lot of isolation and there was a lack of community, and that the Holy Spirit was your community. And just the joy that you experienced coming back into the body of Christ. And Jerry and Karen, you both shared very openly and vulnerably about coming from a place of family brokenness and dysfunction, and that people of contagious character drew you to Christ. And Karen, I love just your emphasis on how the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow you to feel ashamed. In my devotions this morning, I was reading a book as well, and it talked about, I know this is, you guys are going to be sick of me quoting the scripture, because it's all I quote, Matthew 11, where Jesus says, I'm humble and lowly at heart. And that word lowly, or humble, refers specifically not so much to an attitude of a humble person, but an attitude of seeking out the poor and the downtrodden and the marginalized. It speaks specifically to Jesus' accessibility, his accessibility and his openness. And as I was thinking, you know, this morning, how to open with a prayer blessing over each and every one of you, I was brought to Jesus' prayer for us as a church, and it ties in perfectly to everything that we've been talking about today. In John 17, verse 20, Jesus says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, that's his 12 disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me. Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Jesus' prayer is that we would know him and make him known. And that the way that we make him known, the primary way that we make him known, is by our love, by our unity, by experiencing that authentic work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, outworking towards others. So can we give a huge round of applause to these brave men and women?